Asked me to talk a little bit about development of resistance and how to recognize it. And obviously, resistance is something that happens genetically, and I'm not sure that I'm qualified to talk about genetics, but talk about recognizing it. And let me just ask you, how many of you know that you are consulting in an area where there is resistance to herbicide resistance? How many of you have recognized it already? Most of you have, or many of you have. And so maybe I don't need to tell you about how to recognize it. Seems like that you've got that under control as well. So, Roger, I don't know that I've got anything else to say, but you know, extension specialists are not going to allow that to come and go without having a little bit more to say about it. I do, again, want to say thanks to you, the consultants, and, you know, we work really close with Chuck. And the question I get from you is, yes, you tell me this, but how can I convince my farmers? I know this, but how can I convince my farmers? Well, that's the same question we're asking you. We asked you because you're out there every day walking the fields with a farmer, talking to him one-on-one. You tell us how to convince him, and we'll develop an education program around it. But I think working together, we are going to make some major inroads. What is resistance? It is the inherited ability. I mean, that's one that can be passed on to the offspring. In other words, that it is inheritable. So if it was, I guess in simple mind and simple way of me just saying it, is what used to work don't work anymore. So we once could kill the weed with this herbicide and no longer can. And that's opposed to, as Chuck alluded to, tolerance. Tolerance is that the inherent ability of a plant to withstand the herbicide, or it means that the herbicide never did work. And we've got both of these, and we sometimes use these terms interchangeably. And we probably need to get away from that terminology, and let's just talk about tolerance in those weeds where we never did kill them, and resistance in those where our herbicides do not work anymore. Type of resistance, cross-resistance, multiple resistance, you'll hear about those. The cross-resistance is to two or more herbicides from a single resistance mechanism. In other words, Staple and Invoke, both are ALS herbicide. And so if a weed is resistant to both of those types of both of those herbicides, we say it's cross-resistant. Multiple resistance, and that's the one that I guess concerns us most now, is the one where it's resistant to several herbicide more distinct mechanisms. In other words, different families of herbicides like the ALSs and the glyphosate. So maybe if it's resistant to both staple and glyphosate, then we say it has multiple resistance. And this is terminology that you'll see and you'll probably be using because with pigweed, most of ours are beginning to be multiple resistance, and that means that neither the ALS nor glyphosate controls them anymore. We can talk about LD50s, and you can hear this type of terminology. It says, well, ours is 6X. It takes 6X rate to kill ours. That means it takes 6X more than something else, but we don't know what that is. These are good comparisons in a greenhouse or in a single field where we are out there and we spray one and it's susceptible, and then we go up to 6X and we spray another one and it finally dies at 6X. Then we say, you know, that, but that really doesn't tell you what you have in one field as opposed to another field or in another county, and or what my data says compared to what you see or what Larry says across the creek, unless we are all evaluating the same population. So those numbers don't really mean a whole lot. What it means for the farmer is if it's not working, then you've got a problem. And I think that's where we need to come down on this and just look a little bit about how to recognize this. This is sort of sneaks up on you, and as we just take a graphic example here and say, in 2004 we spray and we have a weed escape. And at harvest time there's one out there in the field. Is it resistant? Or did we just miss it? There's no herbicide program that's ever been 100% and no application technique that's always been perfect. So did we miss it? Oh, we probably did. We might not have, but we probably did. So let's don't worry about it. And then in 2005, when we sprayed, we got a little bit bigger area out there that now we've got more plants that stay green when we go through and spray them. So as we move on down through this, then it obviously just continues to cover the field, and eventually all of the plants in the field are going to be pretty highly resistant. Now, this is an example of this exact scenario in the field. This is in Arkansas. This is year two, right? Year one, you can look at this and tell that this was one single plant last year. And if seed fell, and now we've got this one spot in the field. All right, so that one that we thought we just missed last year, actually we didn't miss it. And now we've got this situation. What's going to happen next year? You're right. And then by that year, by the third year, it'll probably be uncontrollable. It will be so widespread you can't control it. When we go through here with a picker and a stalk cutter, we're probably not going to be able to control this in year three. So if this is, and I can tell you, we took these to the greenhouse and I sprayed them with 194 ounces of WeatherMax and didn't kill them, didn't even make them turn yellow. They're resistant. But the situation is that if you don't catch this in the field this year, and year two is the very critical year, because year one you can't tell every plant out there is resistant or not. It'd be ideal to have a clean field and no weeds, but year two, when you see these spots, then it must be dealt with then. All right. Another situation that we have, those are ones that are totally resistant, just do not turn yellow when you spray them. As you know, and I know, that a lot of times when we spray these, they look real sick. And then, you know, you look at them and you've got some of them that survive and they just turn a little bit yellow and then they turn back green again. And those are the ones that I guess if we look at the next year, we got one that doesn't even turn brown, the rest of them turn yellow, and then they turn back green again. And these are the ones that are tolerant, resistant at those low rates. Now, low rates may be 40 ounces, but at 40 ounces or 32 ounces or 22 ounces, you spray it and it looks sick, then comes back to here. Those are the ones that'll fool you, because Chuck told me, he said, "Kim, we've got problems up here with pigweed. We're not killing with Roundup." You know what I do? I grab my little backpack, I run up there, and I spray them. When I do that, they've already been sprayed once. They're already sick. And when we spray them, yeah, we're up in the rate, and we kill. You know, and farmer after farmer has said, "We're not getting the control we need. We spray them, they die." Yeah, because we've got our rate up, we've got our application techniques exactly right, and we're spraying them on top of what he's already sprayed. And so it crept up on us, I guess, a little bit more than what I would have liked to admit. And this is what it looked like in the field. You see the, I don't know if I can use that pointer and point this or not, but if you see the plants here, you see the plants back in here, you see the plants back in here, just scattered throughout the field. Those are the ones that's going to cause problems next year. So recognize these are probably not just escapes. These are ones that are resistant. They probably looked sick, then came back. What causes resistance? Selection pressure and mutations. Selection pressure just takes out, it's just survival of the fittest. We put out a herbicide, we select one that are more tolerant, and they just keep on coming. A mutation, yeah. Eventually, or at some point in time, probably was a mutation, but there is no evidence that says a herbicide that we put out causes a mutation to occur in that plant. That's not what's happening. These plants obviously go through some mutations all the time, but that one in a however many million mutation is the one we select for, and it just keeps on coming. So back in 2002, when we were told that no such thing as resistance to glyphosate, it was already there. It was already there. And now we have selected for it, and now we can see it. We couldn't see it back in 2002. Now we can. If you can't see it, and you're one of those that held up or didn't hold up your hand because you don't have it yet, it may be there, you haven't seen it. High rates select for highly resistant to low rates. Somebody asked me, does low rates cause resistance? No, they don't cause resistance. But it will shift your those that are resistant at 1X, 2X, 3X. It'll shift your population to the more resistant type. Low rates will. Whereas if you were using full rates, you'd take those out. So what causes it? Weeds with diverse gene pool. Because if they are very diverse gene pool, there's more likely that that resistant gene is in that gene pool somewhere. What are the weeds with the big resistant gene pools? Lamb's quarter, pigweed, obviously. Johnson grass, barnyard grass, rye grass. All these names sound familiar? Yeah, because those are the ones that we suspect and ones that we're seeing now. You know, I've told you and stepped out on a limb and told you that if we continue to spray glyphosate at the rates that we are now, obviously pigweed is going to run us out of the field. And if a pigweed does not smother out our barnyard grass, then barnyard grass is likely to be our next big one. Because it's become, and we know that because of the gene pool in barnyard grass, and we know that it's become resistant to other herbicides we sprayed it with. So, yes, we have it, and this is not the last one of these that we'll have. As Chuck said, I think the pigweed is as the one that has gotten our attention most, one that's going to cause us the most problem. So with that, I'll stop and say we don't have all the answers, but we're going to be hanging in there with you best we can.